This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick. We do it every day, 1 to 4. We are here until 4. Blitz takes over at 4 o'clock until 7. If you want to get in touch with the show, 713-780-3776. That is the number you can call us. You can text that number, 713-780-ESPN, or you can hit us up on Twitter, at PacManJoel with a K, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick. There was one other thing that I like about the game last night that I don't know if, like, we were talking about the triple double and getting that or not, but you mentioned it too. And again, I wanted to hear the conversation about it, but the chippiness between Rubio and James Harden. It was interesting, though, because they looked like, Utah didn't look like they had any fight in them whatsoever. Rubio, even after that face-to-face, when something was said, he was pulled from the game, and his body language walking off was that of dejection. Like, he wasn't, like, walking off like, he don't want none of this. He walked off like, well, he looked defeated. After the game, he mentioned no less than 4 or 5 times, we're not going to quit. We're not going to quit. We're not going to quit. If you have to tell us that many times, you've quit.
I agree.
You have already quit. That team has quit. They've quit on themselves. They've quit on their coach. They've quit on the fans. That team showed a lot of quit.
He has to say something, because I feel like in his mind, he knows he's facing the better team. Like, it's inevitable. Like, I think the entire team knows they're facing the better team.
Yeah.
And I think it really messes. So now they're just looking for words to say. And I'm not really giving him an excuse. I'm just saying, like, what else is he going to say at that point when he's been – because you're right. He absolutely looked defeated. And you saw that from the intentional body contact.
Yeah.
Contact that he was having with James Harden on that particular play. The foul gets called. He gets pulled from the game. So he looked totally dejected.
Here's my thing. I took away something different from it simply because I was around the team for so long. When I keep telling you guys I think James has matured – I think that's one of the ways he's matured. In the past, if someone, whether they started, initiated, or it was just contact that did it, James would be the one to kind of just go, okay,
yeah,
and kind of shy away. I like the fact that not only is James willing to stick up for himself, but he's willing to instigate it. Because in that case, Rubio was overzealous the way he was guarding him, and he threw him a little shoulder. You know what? This is playoff basketball. This is where the tough show up and the meek go home.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that it's a different James Harden from the fact, it's one thing to say he's aggressive with the ball in his hands. It's another thing to say he's not going to take any crap from anybody. He's going to be aggressive to let people know and send the appropriate message that if you're going to try and overdo things with me, I'm going to make you feel it and punish you in more ways than just putting the ball in the hole.
And he didn't just physically. You could see him say something to Rubio.
Yep.
You could see him mouth something. No idea what it was. But again, that's why I wanted the question to be asked. What was it? They're not going to tell us. They might. James is that guy. James doesn't care. Last night they asked him, did the MVP chance, does that get you pumped up? He's like, no. I was stunned that he answered that way.
He's lying.
I felt like it was kind of rude. Like, your fans are supporting you, and you're like, no, I just do my thing. I don't listen to that. I don't care. Bro, that's not good PR. You should at least be like, man, I love our fans. They're the best. They really get me excited. And
well,
yeah,
that's
it's
also
great
on
to
your
hear
PR
that.
Department, to get in his ear
no,
throughout
like,
the year.
Wow. I was kind of... like disappointed that was his answer. And I mean, we're being nitpicky. Look, this is a great team, great player. But those are the kind of things where you're just like, yeah.
But that's why you have a PR department, because I'll give you a perfect example. Jamal Murray the other night when he crapped the bed for 3.5 quarters.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter has the big fourth quarter. He does the interview. 3 times during that interview, the fans were with us the whole time. They didn't quit on me. I couldn't quit on them. The fans were always there for me. The one thing you never do, and you'll always be in pretty good setting with the fans, is don't crap on him.
Well, I wouldn't say he crapped on him, but it was
he
just
didn't,
the
he
way.
Didn't crap
no, that's
on him.
Not
it was just
in
the
that
way
case.
He
you're right.
It's
not crapping
it.
On, but yeah, you fans like to find little things.
Yeah.
To turn a small hairline fracture into like a full blown break.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, I'm not going to go that far.
And that's probably what James Harden realized, when someone got a little physical with him and he walked away, like you mentioned, that he was going to get some heat on Twitter and that people would text him, hey, did you see what this guy said about you? Did you see what this guy tweeted about you? And that messed with his head. And I think that happens to a good percentage of players in the NBA.
Yeah.
They all have to deal with the mental warfare at some point.
Absolutely.
If they're good enough, if they're skilled enough.
And you can love social media when you're kicking it at home, but also realize social media can be a biatch when you least expect it.
Somebody, speaking of that, somebody was like, Barry, why do you hate Joe Ingles so much?
Dude, he was tweeting the whole
I saw some of his tweets about putting his lips on the drinking fountain.
And then Jong jumped in. I was like, this is great.
It became like people all over the internet were starting to hate on Joe Ingles.
He's I feel like he's bullied a little bit.
You think?
Did you see that thread that I showed you?
It's a lot.
That was a everybody was crapping on Joe Ingles.
I'm only doing it, and I'm tagging him on everyone, so it's not like I'm running from him. I tag him on every joke I make, but that's literally what it is. I had the idea. It hit me at the spur of the moment because I was like, man, Joe Ingles looked like he would play at YMCA with Converse and a headband on. That was how it started, and I said that in my head, and then my next thought as a comic was, I should go on Twitter and just start making Joe Ingles jokes and just start like messing with him with just ridiculous stuff. It's not mean. I mean, I was like, Joe Ingles, you know, he has sex with his socks on. I'm not being like, it's just being funny, just like weird. Kind of like what happened with the bad caller. What was his name?
Hunter?
Yeah. It was the same premise. Just like, that's all it was. So I'm just having fun with it. And every time they play the Jazz, I'm going to do it. And next series, I'll probably pick someone on the Warriors to do it with and come up with a whole. And trust me, if you want a little chuckle, maybe follow me during Rockets games. I get about 15 of them in at least. It was fun.
I'll say this.
People liked it, I think.
He deserves what he gets because there's a guy that wants to be tough.
Joe Ingles?
Yeah, every time I've ever seen him with a tough matchup or in a big game, he's the first one to throw an elbow, give him a little hip check, do a little something. You got to be careful, Joe. You're leaving yourself wide open in more ways than one.
And he made his wife quit her job. That was one of the jokes I did. She quit so they wouldn't have a long-distance relationship. Somebody said, Barry, why do you care? So what? Who cares if James Harden was going for a triple-double? He did his thing. Whoops some ass. Get off his back. Okay. Texter, you're going to care when he's out there chasing stats and pops a hammy and is out for the rest
sprains
of the year.
An ankle, whatever.
Sprains an ankle, elbow to the face, concussion. Like, you're going to care when he gets hurt and can't finish the series. And now you go into the Warriors thinking, well, we were a hamstring away. We were an ankle away. Trust me, you'll care.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I'm with you. I said it. I backed you because in game one, I said they should have been sitting down earlier. And that was obviously no triple-double in the limbo. But you got to be smart because one little mistake where you think you're good is the difference between going to the finals or going home.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. We'll continue to roll on. We've got callers stacking up. If you guys want to get in on your HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Right now, I'll tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. If you've had some roofing issues or you noticed recently with the rain that you might have a leak in your roof or you've just been thinking about putting a new roof on your house, I've got the people to go to. I know that ever since the hurricane that there's been storm chasers, deposit thieves, and sketchy roofers in the area trying to get your money up front, get your business, and then skip town doing less than stellar work. That's not what they do at Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing, locally owned and operated. It's a family business, which means they're not going anywhere, and their only hope and wish is that you choose them so that they can do your roofing work and be there for you every step of the way. They use CertainTeed shingles, simply the best product in the business, and they use so many of them and do such a great job that they are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to get this status. They got it. You need it. Go to Fitz. Their base warranties longer than your average roofer can give you, and I'm telling you right now, with an A+ rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor, there's no reason to look anywhere else. And besides all that, they're going to give you a free no-obligation inspection the minute you reach out to them. You can go to fitzroofing.com or you can call 832-521-3001. 832-521-3001. Set up your free no-obligation inspection. They come to you, see what you got and what you need, tell you what they can do, and then they go away. If you want them, you call them back. They come out. They do fantastic work. Check them out. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We've already told you that we have goodies to give away today and lots of other things along the way. So make sure you stay tuned this hour. As a matter of fact, we have the Sportify Expo, the largest sports fan expo in Houston. It's going to be at the George R. Brown Center on April 27th and 28th. And we want to send you and a guest to meet, take photos with, and get autographs from the top Houston Astros, Texans, UFC fighters, and other pro sports legends. We are going to take two callers. We're going to take caller number...
No, he meant on the screen.
No, we're not taking two callers.
Oh, we're going to give away two tickets to one caller.
Correct.
There you go.
All right. So we're going to take caller number 11. Caller number 11, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets to the Sportify Expo. And if you don't win them, you can get them by logging on to SportifyExpo.com. Sportify, S-P-O-R-T-I-F-Y, SportifyExpo.com. So good luck.
Word up. You ready to take these calls, Nicholas? Let's do it. Chuck's been holding a while. He wants to talk Trip Dub. Chuck, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? Just checking in from Huntsville. How y'all been?
Very good, man.
What's up, Chuck?
How long's your bid?
I've been a couple months, man, but I'm getting by. I just wanted to tell y'all, man, look, man, about I defend the reporters on this thing. All these players aren't going to answer it anyway. Russell Westbrook wants to bring up something about a Jazz fan, but when he has a bad game, it's the next question. Joel Embiid's the biggest fake tough guy there is, but when he levels some JV center with an elbow, he wants to laugh at a press conference. You notice he don't do that against Giannis. You know, I mean, they're all going for their stats, but none of them are going to answer questions rightly, and if they get hurt, you know, everybody's just going to write it off and forget about it. Because I'm still steaming. That's why I'm in prison now, from 2 years ago, and all that mess, and it just killed me. They're not going to answer it, but James might have answered question. James would have probably said I was going for the triple. I actually appreciate about him because he does say what's on his mind. If I'm 2 for 30, I'm going to take 30 shots the next game. So, guys, that's all I got to say, man. Don't be too hard on these guys. They're all a bunch of what's anyway, man.
Easy, Chuck.
Appreciate you, Chuck. I'll send you something for your commissary. I realize that they're not going to answer the question, but I think that part of it is you're pointing it out and letting them know that we all know and we saw it. And I think, too, you can ask a guy like Mike D'Antoni that question and probably get some sort of response. D'Antoni's been known to be pretty honest.
He's very strategic with his answers, man.
Mm-hmm.
Is he?
Very strategic. Even when he was asked, hey, are you better this year than you are last year? He didn't answer the question. He basically gave us, and I know why, because he didn't want to give that national, I don't know if it was an ESPN guy or whoever, a headline to write about. He's very strategic. He's very PR savvy. Very.
Okay. I mean, fair enough, but I still think you have to ask the question like that. Were you worried with James in late, trying two assists shy from a triple-double, were you worried that if you left him in too long to get those assists, that he would have gotten hurt? How are you going to avoid that? Like, that's a legit question to ask.
I think that's a fair question for anyone that's there to ask. I think in terms of how he responds to it, the one thing that I do...
I mean, Chuck is right. He's not going to... They could avoid it, but
they
could ask.
But at least you did your part by asking it, right? And here's the other thing. D'Antoni, if he's talking to a guy that he already knows is a national outlet and knows it could be a big story or billboard material, he ain't doing it. Mm. But I've noticed when he does podcasts and such... He's relaxed in a different level to where he's not afraid to say whatever's on his mind in terms of being more honest.
Yeah.
So I think that sometimes plays into it too. Like a lot of the guys, if you notice, when they don't recognize the face, first thing they do is look at your pass. And if it says ESPN or if it says, you know, whatever, a national outlet of some CNN, they'll be a little less comfortable giving you a long answer.
Somebody said, Chuck's cell reception isn't too bad for living in an underground fortified bunker. James wants to talk Rockets. James, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen? Love the show.
Long-time
listener.
Thanks, man.
Picked up the show about a year ago when the Rockets were in town in Utah. I'm out here because of work, you know, diehard Rockets fan, just getting ready for game 3 and game 4.
Dope, man.
So I agree with what your comments were earlier in regards to taking James Harden out. I think it's for risky business to pat the stats. I expect Utah to play him real tough at home. This crowd is crazy. I was there last year, and game 3, we had him on the ropes. Blowout, up by 20, second quarter. Nobody left. It was ridiculous.
They got nothing else to do. Once choir practice is over, all they do is go to jazz games and hope it lasts a long time.
James, tell the truth. If you had four wives waiting at home, would you want to go home to them too?
Heck no.
All
heck
right. No. Now you know why they stay.
Depends on how they look. You know?
Four honey dude lists.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate the call, James.
Well, as opposed to four, good luck out there four in Instagram Utah. Models.
Well, not everybody's Lou Williams.
I was going to say, next to Wisconsin, Utah's right up there.
Is it?
It can be. But, you know.
Somebody texted and said, converse, Barry. Conversate, LOL. Yeah, both of them mean the same thing.
You're blocked.
Who's the dummy? I don't remember which one I said, converse or conversate, but I've used both and they mean the same thing. Like, I don't understand. What's your point? Your LOL. That. Like, if I said conversate, that's an actual word. If I said converse, that's an actual word. I don't even know which one I said. Probably conversate. Because I like that one better.
If that's close to correcting spelling, you should just block it.
Right, I should. Show takeaways from the first hour. Barry hates triple-doubles. Nick is still fat. I kid. H-Town Blue.
Not nice.
Why was Nick still fat? Did we even talk about your weight?
No, not at all.
And he did eat a lot at the media buffet.
I was hungry, man.
They make y'all pay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? 8?
7.
Okay.
It's cheaper than the Astros.
Like I was telling Barry.
That's where the Astros make all their money from. It's not fans tickets.
Astros and, free, right?
No. Texans playoffs, the only one that's free. Nope. It's 12
Joel stole food at the playoffs last year.
Joel just walks in and eats. Oh, my God. How embarrassing.
He just went rock. Nick, you were standing right next to me. We walked in and signed a sheet. And he just said, go.
I'm sure I picked up your deal that day.
No, you did not.
Then you ate, stole food.
You stole food.
Because it's $12 each time, sir.
Yeah.
It's on me.
Playoffs, too.
Okay. It's all right, but I think the reason why they're more expensive is because there's more games, more food, more people to serve, so they have to be. Well, the cool thing about what Tillman Fertitta did is he upgraded the food and kept the price the same.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at it. I had a whole bunch of mashed potatoes yesterday. Ooh. Like a lot of mashed potatoes.
Okay, carbon up for the energy. That's probably why you could. Well, either that, I said maybe that would put you to sleep.
I had no carbs. I'm doing good.
But I look a whole lot better today than I did yesterday, so.
I see your angle, but I'm going to still disagree. You're still ugly. She's cute again. You're not.
Well, isn't that just as bad as what I just said? No. She's cute again?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't even know her. I don't know. I'm just saying things. I am literally just saying words. Somebody said, keep up the good work. Stressful times currently with my baby in the hospital.
Oh, no.
But y'all really helping me pass the time. Was looking forward to one all day. Thanks, guys. That's from that's from Amazon B's brother. Man, all my best to you, buddy.
Yeah, no doubt. Prayers up for you.
Hope things get better. Never like hearing that a kiddo is sick. That's never a good thing. All right, we got a whole lot more to get to. But, hey, the Houston Dynamo off to their best start in club history. They're a young, exciting team led by the young, exciting, and fast-paced attack that includes Albert Elise, the El Pantera, the Panther. His unique ball-handling skills and speed make him one of the most entertaining players to watch out there in the MLS, period. Plus, you got Memo Rodriguez. He's a Houstonian, leading scorer in the MLS right now. And don't forget goalkeeper Joe Willis, among the league leaders as well. And also, y'all, this season, Dynamo's doing something really cool. I dig this a lot. They're partnering up with MD Anderson. They've created a partnership where it's not just, you know, they just put the logo on the jersey. No. Dynamo joining MD Anderson, one goal, to end cancer. So all season long, a portion of ticket sales will benefit the MD Anderson Cancer Center. In fact, on Saturday, April 27th, that's coming up. That's where we're not far off from that. April 27th, Dynamo take on the Columbus Crew. First 5,000 fans get a Houston Dynamo End Cancer scarf. How cool is that? You're going to make a difference, and you're going to get to see some outstanding soccer. The excitement, the atmosphere, I've been to a match at BBVA Compass Stadium. It's unrivaled. It's so unique that we have that. right here in this city. Everybody should experience. You need to get out there to a match and check it out. They're young, they're passionate, they're hardworking. Dynamo, they make Houston proud every time they hit the pitch. So come out and support the Houston Dynamo when you can. Tickets available. HoustonDynamo.com, HoustonDynamo.com. Don't forget, first 5,000 fans get a Houston Dynamo in cancer scarf April 27th. Check it out.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It is The Usual Suspects on a Thursday as the second half of the show opens up. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio at Gal Media. And good conversation and participation so far to this point. So we appreciate y'all out there being suspects. Talking a lot of Rockets and playoffs to this point. Playoffs resume again this evening with that Golden State Clipper matchup switching over to LA. Should be an interesting game.
Yes, it should be interesting.
Okay.
I mean, what do you...
No, I'm saying, you know, for a lot of reasons. One, after the Boogie Cousins injury, you want to see how Golden State reacts.
Mm-hmm.
They also know clearly that they're keeping an eye on the scoreboard and the Rockets are rolling through the Jazz, and they're going to sit there and wait for them. And this Kevin Durant-Beverly thing's not going away, and Kevin Durant is not doing anything to help himself out. I mean, yesterday after shoot-around, they interviewed him, and as much as he was trying to say like it really didn't bother him, I mean, he just can't get out of his own way. It sounds something like this.
Let's go back to the whole last month of the season. We've been playing this way for a while, and when we got to the series, you know, game one, we had some nice momentum. They're playing a gimmick defense, which has been working, top blocking everything on the perimeter, so guys not even looking at the three-point line. They're just forcing guys inside the three-point line. So for us, when I get the ball in my spots, you know, I got a pest, Patrick Beverly, who was up underneath me. Well, I could definitely shoot over top and score every time if it's a one-on-one situation. But we got a guy that's dropping and helping, and then we got another guy that's just sitting on me waiting for me to dribble the basketball. If I put the basketball on the floor, I can, you know, I could probably make 43% of my shots if I shoot them like that. But that's not really going to do nothing for us at with the outcome of the game, you know, because we got a nice flow, everybody touching the rock. Everybody shooting and scoring, so I'm not gonna get in the way of the game because, you know, I want to have a little back and forth with Patrick Beverly. I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
I thought it was all okay up until the end.
That's what I'm saying. And the thing is, he can't get out of his own way because if you go back and look at the first two games of the series, he did the opposite of what he's saying. He got caught up in the Patrick Beverly game.
And I get it. Be humble. Kendrick Lamar taught us that. What did he say that was wrong though?
Yeah, but here's the deal.
He is Kevin Durant, and that is Patrick Beverly, and they are two different players. Kevin Durant's one of the best players on the planet. Patrick Beverly is scrappy. You're not the best player on the planet or in that league if they define you as scrappy.
Right, but he's not a likable guy right now, and that bothers him.
Okay.
And if he wants to be likable, that needs to be eliminated from his commentary.
Okay, so let's rewind this back, you know, to the 90s, in the Jordan era, in the 80s. Let's rewind it. If it's Michael Jordan and Vernon Maxwell, this would probably be a legitimately good comparison because Maxwell would always D up Michael Jordan really well. At a practice shoot around, if somebody was talking to Jordan and Jordan said the same exact thing, I'm going to do this. This is what we have a flow. We run an offense on the Bulls team. I mean, I'm Michael Jordan. Y'all know who I am. I'm Michael Jordan. No one would bat an eye if Michael Jordan said that because it'd be like, yeah, you're Jordan. That is just Vernon Maxwell. Not that Vernon Maxwell is not a big deal, but compared to Michael Jordan, he's not. And Patrick Beverly, not that he's not a big deal, but compared to Kevin Durant, he's not. So I don't know where the guy misspoke. I get it, be humble, but he didn't say anything outlandish.
But also, Michael Jordan didn't have social media. He didn't have to. He
that wasn't on social media. That was an interview.
Kevin Durant is Michael Jordan. Period. That's why it would be more believable, because Michael Jordan wouldn't be dealing with this in-game like this either. And he wouldn't be saying one thing and doing something the exact opposite. Michael Jordan would have been busting his ass, getting his buckets, not letting it get to the point where he's going to get thrown out or get in foul trouble.
That's because
and
people didn't get
out.
Thrown out back then. Jordan was just as chippy. You didn't see Kevin Durant push Pat Beverly Jordan down? Like, you're not going to bully me. You're 6'1". You're not going to bully me. I'm not going anywhere. Pushed him down. That's when they jumped up and got the two tees and thrown out. Jordan did that stuff. The difference is, in his era, they didn't throw you out. They teed you up. You could fight, and they wouldn't throw you out.
Jordan was way more mentally strong than Kevin Durant.
Oh, I'll agree with you there. There's no doubt about that.
Did he have to be, though? He was more likable. People would always throw a blind eye for everything. Nick, that every time
exactly.
He was a womanizer, just like a lot of the other NBA players, but he was an amazing player. And they threw the blind eye. And therefore, he didn't have to deal with that. Because he didn't have to deal with all that, I think that's a different dynamic. Kevin Durant is not likable. And it bothers you. It bothers you. That's why you get all these questions. And you can't act like that. You cannot act like that. You cannot say, I'm Kevin Durant.
Y'all know who I am? That part was a joke.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was not.
No,
you
look
at the video.
Dude, you
can
see it in his face, bro.
Yeah, that was not a joke.
You can see it in his face. It was not a joke. He meant it. Listen to his tone. Hold on.
I don't get in the way of the game because, you know, I want to have a little back and forth with Patrick Beverly. I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
It was a very cocky tone to it.
I don't know. I took it as a joke. I don't see his face. I didn't watch the video.
I'll tweet the video.
I can hear the audio. Yeah, tweet the video, because just from the audio, I mean, to me, that sounds like, look, let's be real. A lot of times on this show, I say things that I'm like, oh, well, I'm obviously the smartest person on the show. I'm obviously the best person on this show. It, tongue in cheek, like being funny, being fake arrogant, and that's what I took that to be from him is, I'm Kevin Durant. Like, that part I got. Like, I'm not going to stoop to Pat Beverly's level. I'm Kevin Durant. But the whole, y'all know who I am? I felt like that was tongue-in-cheek arrogance. And I could be wrong, but that's how it came across to me.
He's just not a facetious type of guy, Kevin Durant. He doesn't make a lot of jokes at press conferences when he's asked. Like, I don't even see him smile that much anymore.
No, he's miserable right now. And he's miserable because of the questions about free agency. And you're right. Ever since, and we've covered this several times, ever since he went from the darling of the league with OKC to hooking up with a winning team and being criticized for it, he's changed his entire aura, his attitude, everything. But the thing that, to your point, Nick, on the Jordan issue, because you're right to an extent, but the bigger thing was, for everything that was going on off the court with MJ, one thing you knew was when he crossed between those lines, nothing else mattered than competing, busting someone's ass, and winning a ball game. And you see Kevin Durant slip up. He gets caught up in the emotions of it when MJ was an assassin. He didn't, yeah, his dad might have done this, and he did this, and he cheated on his wife. But when he was between those lines, nothing else mattered. That's where I think there's a difference.
That's fair. And look, I just feel like when you're in that situation, and look, and if he genuinely does not care whether he's liked or not, then you know what? Keep talking like that, bud. Keep talking like that. I don't know how the fans are going to react to you. You know, you look on Twitter, you straight made a fake account.
I was going to say, yeah.
So don't act like you don't look on Twitter and it doesn't bother you. I mean, look, I don't know. I would love to see, and we'll never know, how Michael Jordan would act with Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all these other social media platforms.
I can tell you this, too. If MJ had a guy that he knew he could get 43 or whatever, he could shoot 43% and get whatever he wanted off of, he'd have milked it till it was dry, regardless of what the normal offense was. Because that would be a way that they could win. So, I think Kevin Durant is extremely mentally soft. And he's showing that in this series. And it could really be a factor for them going forward. Because we saw it with his own teammates. When he and Draymond got into it, that's stuff you can handle in the locker room. That stuff you can get. But the fact that the way it all went down on the court and the way that he reacted, man, he's got some growing up to do in a lot of ways from a maturity standpoint, from who he is and what everybody sees him to be.
It sounded really good. Look, I could just shoot right over him, and that didn't sound cocky. And I'll still get 43%. But with that dynamic, that doesn't make sense. We have a lot of people who can touch the rock and score, and it wouldn't make sense for me to just take all those shots right over Patrick Beverly. He sounded like a teammate there. Right when he goes to, I'm Kevin Durant, and this guy is Patrick Beverly, he just sounded cocky to me. Like, he just sounded like he didn't care. He sounded like a bothered individual, for sure.
To me, it sounds like when he says that he can't just But like Pat Beverly is getting to him.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think he's getting to him a little bit. But he knows at the same time, Kevin Durant obviously knows that he's way better than Patrick Beverly.
I hope so.
And everybody else knows that too. So,
all right. So games tonight, Philly at Brooklyn. You guys see any, you see Brooklyn winning at home?
I mean, I'm not going to count them out. They stole one on the road.
I like the fact that there's that side issue, too, that's going to make it fiery tonight. It's going to be chippy tonight because of the elbow from Embiid, because the Nets players came out and said it ticked them off. Well, we'll see how much it ticks you off. You can say it in the media, but if it's going to make it chippy tonight and more intensity to it, I'm all for it.
It won't hurt my feelings. I'm down for some good games. Some of these, have it's either been really good or blowouts. I mean, we didn't even mention Boston getting away with one.
Oh, they stole one.
In the Garden.
I think this is the time to watch, guys. I think the playoffs this year is going to be good. I'm like, especially the first round where you have a game every night or games every night.
Yep.
I think this is the time to watch. I mean, think you're not going to miss out, even if you're not a rock. I mean, if you're not a fan of some of these other teams.
I'll be interested to see how the Nuggets do on the road, the Sixers on the road. After, you know, those splits at home, that's when you find out what a team really is. If you lose, you know, home court and you have to go on the road now and get it back, that shows you the what level of intensity and preparation and execution and all that that these teams are going to have. So we'll find out if the Sixers are legit in the East and if the Nuggets are worthy of their two spot in the West, I think, with these next two games on the road.
Compelling game. In all three games, you've got compelling elements that make it even more interesting. And Nick, to your point, normally in the first round, like we said, the top four seeds normally roll to cakewalk sweeps or, you know, real easy victories. Across the board, you can go, man, you got, aside from Milwaukee and the Rockets, you basically got a lot of series where it's still up in the air and it could go either way.
It's not a complete waste of your time if you tune in tonight or during the first round. I just don't. I feel like it's a decent set of games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you got, so like, and even the Golden State Clipper game is tonight. So what we talked about, and we've got the chippiness in Philly, Brooklyn. And then, like you said, you got to have a team that lost the home court, go back and get it in San Antonio, should be at least worth checking out. So those are the games on the schedule tonight.
And the Astros
tonight.
Streak is over. So
yeah, we got to get to that
the
next.
The shine is off of that. Also, somebody texted the show, said, Barry, are you ever going to talk about what happened at your show on Friday? You mentioned it earlier. I was there. That's why I want to know. That's why I want to. So yeah, I'll talk about that. I'll tell the story next segment.
All right. There you have it. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's hour number 2, 3-hour show. Lots more to get to, as you've heard. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, well, throw it out there. 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hour number 3 will feature us catching up with Mike Golic of Golic and Wingo, and before that, Mike and Mike fame. So we will have that to get to.
Lauren Pope checking in.
Yeah.
Popes are in the building. She said, currently listening while eating leftover pizza, reheated in the air fryer. Throwback to yesterday's show. Only way to reheat it, by the way. I need to get one of these.
A lot of people. I thought about that when I went home.
So to reheat stuff, too, not just to make fries.
You can reheat stuff. Yeah, somebody had no idea. Their microwave collects dust now. They don't use it. They use the air fryer. I'm like,
Lisa was reheating pizza for Taylor last night. In the toaster oven. And I thought immediately. Oh, yeah.
Y'all don't have a microwave?
Yeah, we do, but that makes it soggy. The toaster oven crisps the crust and warms the cheese.
You don't just use a regular oven?
No. You can use those smaller ovens, too.
Easier, yeah.
Toaster oven.
And it'll make it. He's right. It'll make it like it won't make it as soggy.
Yeah,
it's one of the, like, I haven't seen a toaster oven since my grandma's house.
Well, that's why you don't come over.
It's just like a smaller oven. I don't know if it's.
Yeah, it's just a little toaster oven. Yeah. It's just basically like turning your oven on broil. That's the same thing. I don't know. My wife, she likes gadgets, but we don't have a place to put them because she won't put them on the counter.
Like, and it's more to clean and more dust that collects.
Yeah, a lot of people like will have all their appliances on the counters. Not my wife. We have to have this thing just for appliances. It's a whole storage area. I'm like, no more appliances. I'm not doing
it's,
that.
It's too much of a pain to carry.
Because we don't use them. Kitchen appliances and gym equipment, it gets the same amount of use in our house. None. No, we don't use any of this stuff. We have, like, no, don't get me. I'm going to get angry. Just all the money wasted on that stuff. Speaking of angry, so this past weekend, I did a show in Conroe with Jesse Saldana, who puts on a really good show up there at the Southern Star Brewery, I think is the name of it. I forget the name of it. Anyways, I was closing out the show, and there was this, when I got there a little bit late. But there was this table of four, two couples, right where all the comedians were hanging out and waiting to go on. And they talked the entire show. Like, every time a comedian was on stage, they weren't listening. They were just talking loudly, being obnoxious. No one ever really said anything to them, right? Like, but it was obvious that they wouldn't shut up. They had no interest in, they paid their $10, but it was just so that they could drink beer and act like a-holes. And ignore a comedy show. I don't understand why people go to a comedy show and ignore it. Like, why go? If you want to talk, just, I don't know, have a barbecue or talk in your backyard. So I go up and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to ignore them like I normally do. It's not, unless they're really distracting me. So about 2/3 of the way through my set, I was doing some jokes and all I could hear was that table. Because obviously we're at a brewery. So the longer the show goes, the more drunk people are getting. The more beer they're consuming. So this table was blitzed. Like, all, no pun intended. All four of them were just hammered and being drunk loud. So I was like, hey, why don't y'all shut the bleep up? And they didn't respond because they couldn't hear me because they were talking to each other. They had no idea that I had stopped the show and was addressing them. I was like, guys, hey, you over there. They literally, no one blinked an eye. Like, they were just laughing and carrying on. And this one guy was, it looked like they were on a date. Like, they just, like, didn't know each other that well. Because this one guy was just looking at this chick, and she's talking. And he was so into the conversation that I was like, they are definitely not a couple. Because he could care less what she has to say if they were a couple. He is trying to get laid. So he is acting like whatever dumbass thing she is saying is the most important thing in the world. Just so he can get in her pants. That's obviously what's happening here. Mind you, this is my commentary out loud while I'm on stage. I'm literally saying these words. Like, he doesn't care about her. He just wants to have sex with her. That's why he's listening. Like, and the crowd's laughing. And I'm like, guys, hey, over here. Hey, yoo-hoo. And finally, they look up and they turn around. I was like, shut the bleep up. Like, shut up. You're ruining the show for these other people. And two tables full, 15 to 20 people start clapping that were sitting right next to him. Because the whole show, they wouldn't shut up. And then the guy goes, well, why don't you say something that makes us laugh? Or no, he said, why don't you be funny? And I said, you wouldn't know if I was funny or not because you haven't stopped talking the entire time I've been up here. You haven't heard a single joke because you've been sitting there so self-absorbed in your own conversation. So I was like, all right, I said what I had to say. I'm going to transition into like marriage material. I said, are you guys married? And he goes, us? No. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, and I thought that he had said they were married. And then I said, do y'all have kids? And he goes, I do. And I was like, what does that mean? You do. Like, you're with her, but you're like, I do? Like, her uterus is broke? Like, her uterus don't work? So you had to go have your own kids?
Oh.
And her face.
I bet.
And his face. And I was just like, okay, so your uterus is broke. Now we get it. And then I just moved on. And I moved on. So the show's over. I'm on stage maybe 15 more minutes. And I get off stage. And they didn't talk the rest of the show. It was
to each other?
At all. Like, oh, wow. Nothing.
Well, it got your point across.
I did. So I felt like that was a W for me. So yep. I get off stage. And I have to pass them. Because like I said, this is the area where the comics were. Their table is right in the way of it. So I'm going, you know, I was like, hey, I got shirts for sale. If you want one after the show, come by, say hi, take a picture, whatever. So I go to walk past the table, and the guy that made the comment about his girlfriend's uterus, he goes, "You're a real tough guy on that microphone." And I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." He's like, "You're big and bad talking all that mess on the microphone." And I said, "I'm not on the microphone right now, and I'm standing right here." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, you're so tough when you're up there on stage." I was like, "Dude, I'm right here." And he goes, he just kept saying it. "You're real big." I was like, "Bro, I'm right here. Do what you need to do. What do you want to do to me? Let's do this."
Man, that's a dangerous game you're playing there,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, it is.
No. And I'm like, "You're not going to punk
he
look me." Like?
What if he starts running
he was
after
big,
you?
He was a big boy. Like, he was pretty built. But you're not going to punk me. Yeah, you've okay. been drinking. You're not going to punk
you've been
me.
Drinking.
No, I hadn't been drinking. I had one beer. Like, uh-huh. you're not, but you're not going to punk me like that. Like, no, that's not going to happen.
What if he started chasing you? Badass would have a heart attack. You wouldn't make it.
I wouldn't be running. I'll tell you that much. I'm going to go down swinging, but I'm not running. So I walked past him, and I went to get the shirts, and he turns around and he goes, yeah, you're big and bad. I was like, "Dude, I'm right here, and you ain't doing anything. So who's the tough guy and who's not?" And so he walked over to me and got nose to nose. And he goes, "You didn't have to be like that. You could have just," I said, "All you had to do was shut your mouth during the show and stop ruining it and disturbing everybody else around you. And that would have never happened. Guess what? I didn't talk about anybody else's uterus because nobody else was talking. If you wouldn't have been talking, that would have never happened. By the way, I'm still standing here and you're still not doing anything. And we're nose to nose. Who's the tough guy?"
God, I wish I could see these incidents, but I'm not driving to cut and shoot.
And the DJ, like, he was a big swole guy. And he was like, yo. And he kind of stood over next to me. And then one of the guys that was there was really cool. I guess he was a fan of the my comedy because he was like, he was trying to intervene. He got in between us. He was like, "Hey, Barry, let me buy a shirt, man. I want to buy a shirt." Like, he was trying to
diffuse it.
Yeah, right. Which I thought was really cool. And I was just like, "Oh, appreciate it, man." Like, and then that dude, they just left. Nobody waited for me like last time. They just left. But I was like, "No, you're not going to punk me. That's on you. You should have stopped talking. Like, you know the rules when you go to a comedy show." And then props to the DJ. He was like, "I had your back, bro." I was like, "I ain't worried about that, man. I'm not worried about that. I carry." Guys like that don't
scare me. But you don't carry on stage.
No, I don't carry on stage, but I carry. Like, if you're waiting for me in the parking lot, that's probably a mistake.
So you're just going to go not to the truck. The truck sounds more intimidating. I'm going to go to my truck.
Sounds like a redneck.
Now you got to say,
"I'm going to go get my varmint rifle."
But now you got to say, "I got to go to my Honda." It doesn't sound as intimidating. Just tell them it's a truck and then go to the Honda.
I'm going to go to my four-door sedan, mid-sized, comfort level.
Say truck. Believe me,
and
say
right
truck.
Next to my trunk full of T-shirts and koozies, I have something you don't want to see.
I got a rifle through all my stuff.
Don't even say truck. Say diesel. Let me get the truck out of this diesel, I swear.
Don't make me go to the diesel with large wheels and a big smokestack on the back and an antenna with a tennis ball on it. That's a redneck staple. I don't know why that's a staple, but that's a redneck staple. The big, tall, bendy antenna with the tennis ball on it.
Yeah. A lot of times they tuck it to the back bumper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. I didn't tell a guy to S his son's D, but I did tell a guy his girlfriend's uterus was broke.
So why are you attacking people? Well. Like, you're verbally attacking people's body
twice.
Parts.
In 6 years, it's happened twice. It's just weird that it's happened
so the numbers
in the
are
last
good.
6 months. Yeah. And the average is good, just not this year.
I can't say that I wouldn't have done exactly what you did. The only problem is that when you start factoring in, like, alcohol,
but
and the guy was an idiot already.
But see, I'm less scared of a drunk guy than I am a sober guy.
You can dodge him.
Yeah, I mean, I was fully prepared in my mind. I knew exactly. All right, if his left shoulder starts moving, I'm doing this. If his right shoulder starts moving, I'm doing this. If he steps any closer, I'm going through like all those scenarios in my head. He's drunk. All he's thinking is, "I hate you." That's literally all he's thinking. And then, like, involuntarily, he might swing. I'm less scared of a drunk guy, regardless of their size.
I just think the one thing you can't talk any sense into him, because if they were logical, they could have said, "Well, if we didn't start disrespecting him the whole time he was on stage, he probably wouldn't be disrespecting me."
It's exactly what I said. No one else's uterus got made fun of. Do you know why? Because no one else was talking. Like, it's that simple. And Jesse, the guy that runs the show, had warned him several times. I found out later. He goes, "Bro, I'm sorry." I was like, "Man, I mean, you probably should have thrown them out," because I told them four times to stop talking. I was like, "Yeah, at that point, you just throw them out." But they were warned. So it wasn't like I caught them off guard and no one knew not to talk, and especially them. So I don't feel bad. Whatever.
All right.
You
know what?
Don't have a broke uterus, and then I'd have to do something else. Whatever.
So broke uterus has been mentioned in hour number two. You can only imagine what we're going to get to in hour number three, including Mike Golic joining us in the 3 o'clock hour from Mike and Mike fame and now Golic and Wingo, as we'll catch up with him a little bit and lots more on the agenda as well. So don't go anywhere. It's the final 60 minutes. It's the usual suspect. It's ESPN 97.5.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com.